Welcome back to Season 2 of the First and Blue Podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Howard, joined by my co-host, Dylan Wade. Thanks for tuning in.
And let's turn up!
Well, it's been a long off-season, Dylan, and we're back. And I've never been more excited.
Never more excited than this season?
Nope. This is the best day of my life.
Well, welcoming back all our listeners. We are excited.
Five or six of them.
Max. All.
Every one of you.
Almost double digits. Well, it has been an interesting off season. Last time y'all heard from us, we were recapping our draft class, which was really fun, especially because now they've been in training camp through all their little rookie deals and voluntary practices. And here we are, game two of the preseason, and we know we haven't been here in a while, but the podcast will be coming because we are so close to the season. We are a little over 3 weeks away. We're really excited for this season. You know, Trevor is really excited, I guess, in the longest time.
So excited. Did I already say I'm so excited?
Yes.
Yeah, but more than anything, it's been a really nice training camp, a good few weeks out in Oxnard. Mm-hmm. Of course, the team flew back a couple of days ago, and they're going to finish training camp here in Frisco.
Yes, and we will be trying to catch a practice or two up here, guys, so we can just kind of, I guess, give you a little podcast of what we see in person versus – you know, what we just hear over the airwaves and the little Twitter videos and Instagram stories of the Cowboys, you know, to kind of like get our opinions. Try and get out there and see the feel of the team, you know, how they're Absolutely. Really looking together.
So, Dill, training camp's been going on. What stood out to you probably the most? Let's start with the rookies, Leighton Vander Esch and Connor Williams. If you listen to the people in the front office, apparently they look really good.
Yeah, it's just Vander Esch probably isn't going to push Jalen Smith off the field. And I think that's okay that our rookie linebacker isn't being forced into the starting position. He's going to get a real chance to learn and come in on sub packages that work for his ability. Connor Williams sounds like he's just slotted right in at left guard and it's all good.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting to hear.
Of course, a couple videos, or at least one, went viral of Connor Williams jumping in the gym, and 300-plus pound guys aren't supposed to be as athletic as he is.
Yeah.
And kind of the
like
same.
Four of the boxes
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And kind of the same goes for Leighton Vander Esch, a guy that didn't really play much football growing up, and then only played like 7-on-7 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. High school.
Yeah, but he's a guy that's really shown a lot of athletic ability. He's got a really nice feel for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were some questions coming in about that neck injury. Neck injury.
Yeah, I would say it was very, very low-key. I felt like it wasn't a true worry about the major sources I was reading from. It sounded like it was just a little rumor out there to maybe push some draft stock down. So
I'll take
we
it.
Should hopefully be it's a second preseason game, so the first team offense, I've kind of seen a mixed bag from Thursday on till now of what teams are doing. You have the Pats, who pretty much left their first team offense out there for a full half,
which amazed
we
me
rarely see. It's usually done in the third preseason game, but the second one, I mean, Tom threw like 20-some passes. I mean, he was out there really running the offense. This wasn't some vanilla scheme they had. I think that was more situational to
Philly.
A little butt hurt because it was Philly, and I think that's why they did it. But still, I mean, the Pittsburgh Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was out there for like two drives, so it'll be interesting to see what Dallas does, but I am hoping to see Vander Esch a lot more this week. I always feel like that first preseason game, everyone's really, truly rusty, you know, really moving at football against someone else, football speed. So, it should be fun tonight. They're back home and maybe kind of bring the whole team a little more comfortable back in their house, you know.
Absolutely. Last week, San Francisco matched up with Dallas for the first preseason game, what you were just alluding to. We saw some really good things. Dak Prescott went 3-for-3 in his lone drive. He threw a touchdown to Michael Gallup. He only had 2 30-plus yard touchdowns last year.
He had one on the first series.
Which is exciting as hell to me. I don't know, that's something you and I have talked about. Everybody's wondering if Dak Prescott will be the next, you know, RG3 to have a great season and then bust, or if he'll be the next, you know, I hate to make this comparison, but Tom Brady or, you know, another star quarterback. But he's looked good thus far. The run game's obviously going to help him immensely. So it's just kind of one of those right now. You just want him to get his feel during the preseason. And then once the regular season gets here, it's go time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just changing things that plagued this offense really like throughout the whole season last year. And I think the fans, I know especially us, just want to see can we execute on the things that have been our kind of the thorn in the side, and it was the long ball. And there we go, and we see it on the first drive. Dallas's offense won't be predicated on that, but it's just can we complete it when we need it completed, you know, versus like, oh, here we go, we have to throw the ball more than 12 yards here. Probably not a good chance because we just can't do it. Like, so it's just good to see that initially that Dallas has been working on it. And for the offense this year, it was all Dak-friendly this whole offseason. Well, it looks like Tavon Austin is the real deal in this offense right now from what we're hearing from camp and just the packages they're getting him the ball in. I mean, it isn't this Lance Dunbar and Lucky Whitehead. We have someone fast. We'll get him the ball. I think Dallas is seriously game-planned for him to be a running back and slot receiver combo that – he's not going to get that Stephen Jones. Remember that 20 touches a game? It was like, yeah. We have Ezekiel Elliott, so let's chill. But, man, I think if Tavon gets around 8 or 10, and that's a lot that are specified for him, you know, that's pretty good because it sounds like he really still has that game-breaking speed that Dallas's offense has been missing.
Yeah, Tavon Austin, of course, a former first-round pick out of West Virginia. We watch a lot of Big 12 football. He was a guy that was – extremely electrifying.
Yeah, him and Geno Smith, that was a hell of an offense there at West Virginia those few years.
Right, and Tavon's kind of stuck around in the NFL, although he hasn't really been what people thought he would be. It's kind of been tough to get him the ball.
That's what happens, of course, when Jeff Fisher's your coach.
Yeah, right. Yep. In St. Louis and in L.A., of course, just the Rams in both situations. But back when they were in St. Louis, they had him out wide as just kind of your slot wide receiver. They didn't really do much with him other than just try to play him as your prototypical slot wide receiver, and that's not really his game.
Yeah, I think he needs to be getting the ball
exactly
like, in his hands.
Well, and the college game in general fit what Tavon Austin does well. It really was what made him such a great player is that mm-hmm. there's so much space and everyone's running the spread and I think that's what's really nice about this Cowboys offense is we obviously play a lot of I formation, a lot of bunch offense, but when we do want to spread the field, now we finally got that guy that can, you know, really spread things out, can open up your passing game, can even run some reverses. We saw Lucky Whitehead really be a game changer doing that a few years back. So I'm personally excited to see what Tavon Austin does.
Yeah.
But the big question still remains, since we did get younger and we did get faster, we also lost a legend, if you want to call Dez Bryant that.
But yeah, he's a Cowboy legend.
He's a Cowboy legend.
A true, but, you know, in the same context as Jason Witten, Cowboy legend,
right.
Not really. But still, franchise leader in touchdowns and all those years of getting over 1,000 and like 90, 100 catches. Yeah, Dez is up there. But, yeah, can the receiving core replace Dez's attitude, on field drawing double teams? Probably not, but I am not one of these critics of this by committee. I think that fits what Dallas's offense truly is. It really does. I think Dak is sort of that quarterback. Maybe it's nice that there's a number one, but he really doesn't care. I think Dak really is that guy who is sold on winning for the team. And
absolutely.
If I am throwing to my check down as the fullback to us to get two first downs, well, that's cool with me. Like, there's no, sorry, Michael, I'll get it to you the next play. You know, there's none of that going
well,
on.
Well, and the deal is, if you're going to be a throwing offense in the NFL, you've either have to have an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady, or you have to have Julio Jones, AJ Green. You have to have a big time wide receiver. But the Cowboys are, and they are not shy about saying this out loud, the Cowboys are a run-first team. You know, they talk about wanting to be balanced. I think they want to be balanced, but I think they want to run a little more.
It's going to be like a 60-40
spread.
Yeah,
right. As opposed to 80-20, you know what I mean? When they say balanced, they don't actually mean they want to run as much as they throw.
Yeah.
But I do think, since we do not have a all-star quarterback yet, you and I both agree, we think Dak can develop that into that if he – keeps progressing and he keeps mm-hmm. working hard like everyone says he is. And we don't have that all-star wide receiver anymore. Not that Dez Bryant was in the last couple of years, but at one point in his career he was. Mm-hmm. But the Cowboys want to run the ball. They want to shove it down your throat, and they want to do it over and over. And that's why we draft big, tough running backs.
Yeah.
And that's why we throw quick slants, and we run a lot of play-action passes. So we don't need that all-star quarterback or wide receiver to fit the mold that we want to, you know, win with.
Yeah, to make this team, like, win.
Right.
And I think the big thing there was the running backs. I think this is the deepest stable Dallas has ever had. I've always been a big fan of Darius Jackson.
Me too.
Probably not going to make the team because there's just not room behind Jasmine Owale, Zeke, Bo, and Rod Smith. Dallas probably isn't going to keep four running backs and a fullback.
Right.
We're going to go heavy elsewhere.
Well, and the key is, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if for anybody listening that wants to kind of see who's going to make the 53-man, it's pretty easy. Just watch the special teams. A lot of times, you know, there's a lot of variety in preseason with the offense and the defense mm-hmm. and what they do. The special teams is pretty much what the coaches want to stick with because those are guys that can do a lot of different things.
Because that bottom quarter of your whole team, your whole roster is going to be your special teams guys. And that's why you have guys like Matt Slater in New England, who's been there for 8 years. Well, you've never seen him on offense catching passes from Tom, but he's been an absolute ace for them on special teams for his whole career there.
Right.
Been making a few Pro Bowls.
And
so,
as Jason Garrett likes to say, all three phases, you have to be good in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So with this preseason almost halfway over, I think days-wise it is halfway over, the Cowboys have Cincinnati, Arizona, and Houston left on the preseason schedule.
Yeah, we're not leaving the state for a very long time until we fly out to Carolina. So it should be great. And I know tonight will be a pretty fun game because to switch sides of the ball, the defense was really fun to watch last week. You know, it's always about the offense.
Uh-huh.
How will this team roll with the receiving core and this running back stable and not having a legendary tight end, you mm-hmm. know. But I think the really kind of low-key exciting part of this team is this defense. And I really can't wait to see them tonight. You know, even if the first team's defense out there only for a session,
mm-hmm.
man, just seeing D-Law and Randy Gregory, you know, maybe he runs with the ones because there's some injuries out there right now. Yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Well, and I think that could be the big surprise of this season is this young defense. It's amazing, and it's pretty easy once you start putting resources into a side of the ball. They're going to get better.
Yeah, look what happens after three drafts.
Exactly. And the Cowboys draft really well. They mm-hmm. have, over the last few years, Will McClay and Stephen Jones, and Jerry to a certain extent.
Yeah, and we've also gotten lucky on some picks, uh-huh. too. To have a six-round cornerback like Anthony Brown finish his rookie season like he did and really finish the end of last season really well, the last six games. He got a six-round pick. That salary is dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
And he is out there contributing on your nickel packages. And then now we go and get some more rookie cornerbacks spread out from rounds one to, you know, six for up to our safety for Xavier Woods. And all of a sudden you have this super cheap and athletic secondary that's really, truly led in the biggest salary by Byron Jones,
right.
who is a first-round pick for you. So when you assemble it like that really well and really fast, this is just one of those times the window's open. And while people may not think Dallas is that good to compete, believe me, the window's very much open and we could make a play for it. It obviously has to all come together and we got to get by some super teams in the NFC. But
yeah, we have an unbelievably tough schedule this mm-hmm. year. But to go back to what we were just talking about, you do have to get lucky to draft well. We call it luck. Will McClay would probably call it intense preparation.
Yeah.
Right? But there's no doubt the Cowboys have gotten lucky. We thought we were very unlucky when Romo went down in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized that a fourth-round quarterback, wow. I mean, that never happens.
Yeah, just the way it worked, that perfect transition. Yeah, it worked well. And then to just hit on all your defensive draft picks, I mean, I think the jury's still out on Taco,
uh-huh.
but I'd say I still like what I see, and
Heard great things coming out of camp.
Yeah, and you always really never expect a rookie DN to truly contribute. And it just sucks when you have someone in that same draft like Joey Bosa, who just absolutely kills it, you know, his year. So then all the DNs who come out the next year, everyone's like, well, he's not contributing like 9 or 10 sacks. And it's like, man, you already know that's not the
right. It took DeMarcus Lawrence 3 years to break out, you know, and some injuries. And that's just how defensive linemen.
Randy Gregory's going to take 5 years.
Yeah. And he's going to be sober doing it, and he's going to freaking kick your ass. He's so scary, dude. You know, he got down to 210 pounds over the last year and a half. That's unbelievably small.
Yeah, that's whoa.
Yeah, for a defensive lineman. And they say he's back up and he's stronger faster. I don't know, but not 210.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's up in the 240s, 250s.
I would say he's got to be at least 240.
Yeah, he looks big. I've seen a couple of interviews with him. He looks big.
Also, out of the team photos that I've seen and just following guys' Instagram stories, is this whole D-end room, they have really bonded together. Like, I personally think they're the best, like, defensive line in the league.
They just have
a swag to them where I felt like it used to be, can we ever do it?
Uh-huh.
Like, can we ever be what everyone thinks we should be doing to help this team? I think it's now they're like, oh yeah, look at this room. We got Coney Ealy. I mean, I know maybe not his hit on his draft status, but DeMarcus Lawrence, you come back from an all pro season like
that,
and he connects. Coney Ealy shows up. Tyrone Crawford does well. The whole D-line just – if we can just avoid some injuries to, especially like Malik Collins or David Irving, those are the two I'd say that are probably the most worrisome when it comes to an injury, or obviously your big guy and
Eli. Right.
But the depth on this D-line is incredible, and you have a young secondary, but then you have this D-line that Marinelli just loves to rotate, and I think and was probably the greatest acquisition by Dallas to help this team kind of be under the radar, but the team believes in itself that they can go further than what everyone's saying, is Chris Richard.
Oh, yeah. People are saying Richard could be a head coach in the next
couple
of years.
Probably will be.
Maybe here, if, you know, depending on which way we start heading. I would like to still see Jason Garrett here, because that means we're winning a
lot. I was going to say, if Chris Richard's coaching us in 2 years, that means this year definitely fits.
right. But speaking of Richard, I don't want to be that guy. But it would be unlike us to not dream about what it could be. So I have to ask you, where are your thoughts with Earl Thomas? Of course, Earl Thomas is a guy we both love, went to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the best safety in the league. Definitely the best center field type safety in the league. A lot of interceptions, a really fast-paced player, gets to the ball. For some reason, he's always near the ball. And, you know, I'm sure he would tell you that comes from a lot of practice. But this team needs a safety. They really do. We're one injury away from that being the weakness of our team, and that can change a whole defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's Xavier Woods and Jeff Heath right now, and behind them's Kayvon Frazier, truly.
That's nobody.
Marqueston Huff?
Right.
Like, no thanks. I think it's still just a really tough game, and everyone's kind of like calling each other's bluffs. Like, if Earl's going to continue to sit out, that helps us immensely. As the further and further Seattle goes without their all-star, the last one truly remaining on that defense besides like Bobby Wagner, they're just going to be like, wow, okay, this really kind of sucks, and he really wants out of here. And
right.
Well, the thing is, do they ever get to the point where they're like, kind of, whatever, you know, let's just get him out. Let's get something, because Earl is gone.
He doesn't want
to
be there.
If they don't give him this huge extension that he thinks he deserves, and probably rightly does, if they don't get that going, I'd say at least just halfway through this season, you expect he walks next summer, and they got nothing. And it was tabled this summer in spring for a second or third round pick from us.
Right. So and that's a team that needs picks. They're obviously rebuilding.
I know. That's what's kind of taken me off guard about it, is that it's not that Seattle's clinging on to, dang, we're at that edge. We're a playoff team, but Earl helps us, but could we get it for a draft pick? It's like, you can kind of tell that their time has kind of run its course, and you know, maybe they'll still be relevant, obviously, for a long time because of Russ.
Well, but that's what I was about to say. They're almost in the worst position you can be in the NFL. They're not bad
in
enough.
The middle.
Right.
Yep.
They're not bad enough to have a high pick.
When we were 8-8.
Oh, well, that's
a quarterback that keeps you relevant.
That's right.
And the rest of the team's not there.
The best thing that happened, as bad as it is to say, Romo goes down, we go 4-12, and we get the next, you know, franchise player. Mm-hmm. That's how you have to be in the NFL. You have to be really good or really bad.
Yeah, there has to be one season that stands out where you reset the clock. And for the Colts, I think this is the perfect example of this is, wow, our legendary quarterback, Peyton Manning, goes down with because of a neck surgery.
Right.
And they go 2-14.
Yep.
And they nail, and it just happens to be the draft that nails arguably like the greatest quarterback prospect to come out in the last 20 years or so.
Exactly.
And Andrew Luck. They needed that, and bam, just like that, they're right back in it. So that just shows how a truly one reset year really can help the team, and I think Seattle is playing that dangerous game of they still think it's 2013, and
well,
it's
yeah.
like it's not there
and
anymore, guys.
That's even more of a reason, in my opinion, to let go of Earl Thomas. Save your money. Stockpile your draft picks. You don't want to be mediocre right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be bad than mediocre.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's easy to say when you're not the one, you know, putting your life out on the line basically every Sunday.
Yeah.
But you, I'm trying to think of a way to say this without sounding, because I know people in Seattle are probably thinking how we were a few years ago, that, yeah, but we could. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. They may eke into the playoffs as a wild card, maybe. I don't see it happening. But Earl Thomas is not going to be there the next time they win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's just
exactly.
not. And so they're in this staring contest right now where he feels like he deserves more. They feel like they've done a lot for him, which, in my opinion, is ludicrous because he has done everything for them.
Yeah.
They've completely taken apart the Legion of Boom. He's the only one left.
I know. Yeah.
So let him go. And the thing that scares me is the Seahawks, when I say they, that's who I mean, they know he wants to come to Dallas. And so I feel like they really don't
They
want
just
to.
Don't want to make it happen because it's essentially just giving away, you know, you're giving away like a top five
right.
like defensive player out there, like across the board, probably top 10 at least, just to another NFC team. So I think it's just kind of this rough game of rock and a hard place. As Seattle is like, dude, you're getting 12 mil this year. Like, why not just play on it? And he's like, I don't
want
to play on just 12 million and then
I
get
want
hurt.
Some security.
On a, uh-huh. Yeah, I want some security. Trade me to a team that wants to sign me long term. And I think Dallas would, because next year we have Dez Bryant and Tony off the books. Actually, a lot, like almost a total like roster reset.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere near like 70.
72, something.
Yeah,
that's what I've
heard.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy. And it'll probably be actually more, some re-signings will probably more around like
right.
40 to 50. But yeah, we definitely will have the room to re-sign Earl to a longer extension. And I could see something of, if we got a trade this year, as you sign him to a 3-year extension. So he's here till what, 32?
Right.
Maybe heading into his 33rd year. That's our window. Like, truly, a window with Dak and Zeke before Dak's massive contract that he'll get and, you know, this, that, or whatever, injuries and roster churn, is Dallas's window with this, when you have a quarterback that's good, who you believe is your franchise quarterback, and he's cheap, there's a window right there
you
for you.
Go
so
now.
It has
right.
to be it right now within these next 3 years. And that's why I'm kind of surprised Dallas is going to hold on to maybe a second-round draft pick at this point, because it's like, man, I don't know if that second-round draft pick, or even if you just say, screw it, this is it, we know they will take this, is your first-round pick.
That's right.
And do you really think that a 2019 first-round pick is going to bring more value to you over these next 3 years with this team
versus
giving it to Seattle so you know you're securing Earl Thomas, essentially completing the defense?
Well, and it's going to be a late-round pick if you are as a team where you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in that 20 to late 20 range.
Yeah.
It just is.
So what?
And
it,
so,
it's 27, and it's
right.
Taco Charlton equivalent.
Exactly.
That's a great way to put it on paper and go, okay, at 27 we got Taco Charlton, or at 27. Well, if we give away 27, we get Earl Thomas.
The best player in the league
in
his position.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I'm with you. You've got to be either in win-now mode or not in win-now mode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, then give away everybody you're paying a lot of money to.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe
You offload like Miami.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe the Cowboys are saying, look, we got rid of Dez Bryant. Jason Witten doesn't play for us anymore. We're obviously a younger team. We don't want another guy about to enter his 30s. Okay. But I'll tell you what I think, what I think is going on, and take this for what it's worth, because I may not be any smarter than anybody else. In fact, I know that I'm not. but I think since Chris Richard and Earl Thomas know each other so well, he played in his system for like 5 years.
That's why.
I think the Cowboys may be playing a waiting game, saying, we could sign Earl Thomas on the Wednesday of week one, and he could be ready to go by Sunday. Because he knows the system so well. But I don't think Seattle... I don't think Seattle can wait that long. I think they're going to say exactly what you were saying of, we better get something for this, you know?
I would just think logically that's what it would be is, okay, this is really soured super fast. Like, it really has within the last month or two because training camp started and he, like, totally is sitting out versus, you know, around draft time, it's kind of hyped because it's the draft and there's the picks. And then it kind of faded away, you know? And now it's like, okay, we're now 3 weeks away from the season. Earl still hasn't even reported to the facility. So things have really soured, and Dallas is, they're just playing the waiting game to get a lower pick for it. And I think the return on, I would hate to give up a first-round pick, but, man, if that's what it was and it was we got secured and then we did a three-year contract extension, I'd be like, all right. You know what? An all-pro, all-star safety like that just changes the complexion of the team.
It does.
And changes the attitude of the defense moving forward because they're like, wow, okay, we have our piece. Like, this is it, guys. Like, look around at everybody in the room. Let's go get it right now.
This is a Super Bowl team.
And Dak and Zeke on the offense go, wow, that defense is going to absolutely ball for us. Let's make it to where their job is easy as hell because we're putting up points on the board and we're just tearing down the other team's defense. That other team's offense is going to have to throw the ball versus Earl in that secondary with DeMarcus Lawrence and Taco Charlton, you know, all them breathing down on them. So
it's a winning formula. Mm-hmm. And to go back to what we were talking about a minute ago, you hit on a fourth round pick that becomes your franchise quarterback. You hit on a sixth round, I meant quarterback. You hit on a sixth round pick that becomes your cornerback, right? Mm-hmm. You get lucky here and there in the draft. In the NFL, there is no luck. If you have a 10-year stretch of getting lucky,
like the
quotes,
Patriots have.
Yeah, well, then those 10 years, they'll come back on you like the Browns. That's just the way the NFL works.
Mm-hmm.
So before you hit that stretch of missing on some guys, give up that second-round pick. You don't need a second-round pick with all the young guys you have, young, cheap guys that are going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's just all about everyone meeting the right match for this situation to happen. So I think that's a good thing to look into tonight is how do Xavier Woods and those safeties play again? Because I think Dallas is also still sitting here going, is it here already on the team? Can we make it by with it? And if for some reason in this preseason they go, nah, actually it really doesn't look like it. And it kind of turns to Jerry and goes, actually, I think we do need to make that to make sure we're okay on the back end. It's going to come from one of these next three games that we'll see if that's where they feel like it lets time to go for Earl.
I completely agree. And I think if it happens, you and I will be extremely elated. Yeah. I think Cowboy Nation will finally see a,
it'll be like the Haley move.
That's
like,
right. Yeah. It'll be a true move to go get a Super Bowl that we haven't done in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we got, T.O., that was as much Jerry.
I think that was just to pull off a stunt move for Jerry personally, and then to take him out from the Eagles who were just in the Super Bowl. You know, so.
yeah, exactly.
But I do like ending on the Earl Thomas talk because it has slowed down this summer, but I do think we will see it kind of heat back up a little bit before the season starts.
I do too, and I definitely hope so because I think that would be an extremely important piece to have on the back end of this defense.
Yeah, and we moved 10 minutes away from the Cowboys-Bengals kickoff on NFL Network.
Well, then let's get out of here. Everybody, thanks for joining us once again. We blessed you with our new intro. We shall bless you with our new outro. Let's pray for safety and no injuries tonight in the Bengals-Cowboys game. Thanks. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the First and Blue podcast.
Sorry about that, guys. Thanks for listening to the First and Blue podcast, your one-stop shop for Cowboy analysis. We upload the day after Cowboy games. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @First and Blue and Go Cowboys.